What's up? Welcome back to a special episode of the Spin Cycle Podcast. I'm Kiara McKinney, and it's been a while since I've been creating podcast content in this space. And before we get into today's episode, I do want to just take a second to explain my absence. Basically, like, honestly, so ever since Taylor Swift has like made her return to the public eye, in addition to like Scandoval and all of these huge pop culture moments, I have felt like the headlines are coming at a speed at which I cannot keep up with. And I feel like I can't like thoughtfully contribute anything that people aren't already saying. And if other people are already saying it, like, what's the point of me just making the same, you know, content as other creators? So I've tried to like take a step back and figure out like what I'm really gonna focus in on. And one thing I'm always going to enjoy talking about are train wrecks. And right now we are witnessing this very weird evolution of JoJo Siwa, who I have talked about on an episode previously, where I covered a lot of the like relationship drama she was going through. So I am gonna touch on that and give a little refresher. But JoJo Siwa's song Karma, which is heavily influenced by Miley Cyrus's Bangers Area, and the song itself even is like a scrapped track from Miley Cyrus in 2011 that was like written for her. So she releases this song and this video, and they are just so like bad. I mean, just I can't say it any other way. It's just bad. And so not only this episode is not going to be just like talking shit about this like 20-year-old girl, but also just a look at like child stardom and like the evolution into adult stardom, and especially her like ties to Nickelodeon, which has been really hot in the news. So there's just a lot of different kind of like hot button topics that are wrapped up in JoJo Siwa's attempt at moving into the next phase of her life and career. So for those of you who are maybe like somewhat familiar with JoJo but have no idea anything about her background or where she came from, she was an addition to the Dance Moms cast on season 5. Her mom, Jessalyn, was a dance studio owner back in Omaha, Nebraska, but moved JoJo to ALDC in, I think it was like Philly or something like that, to be a part of the Abby Lee Dance Company. And so she had an interesting relationship with Abby, where Abby like definitely recognized JoJo's star power from early on, but also like Abby and all of the other dancers really were very annoyed by her and her, like, she's always been as obnoxious as she is now, and she's always had this giant ego. It's not new. So when she was younger, she did sometimes rub the other dancers the wrong way. She was really loud. She talked over everyone. She was always just like a little bit too big for her britches. And Abby would even try to like kind of gently coach her, like, I see that you have this like special thing about you, but I don't know if it's gonna work because I don't know if people are gonna like you or not, was basically what Abby's like messaged her was. And she was like, are you gonna like talk over everyone in the room? Are you always gonna have the loudest voice? And JoJo was like, yeah. And Abby's like, that's not a good thing. And she's like, well, it gets my name out there. And it's like, so that's basically who JoJo is and where she came from. She always had this super high ponytail, slicked back on the side with a bow. She like had a signature look from a very young age. But she was always just kind of like labeled too much and just like really, you know, sometimes rubbed people wrong. But she was able to really monetize on her too muchness, especially once she signed a deal with Nickelodeon. But before that, she had like a YouTube channel, and she generated a lot of like really young followers. Think like young Gen Z, like the original iPad kids. They were like her bread and butter. So then she starts to like sell merch with Walmart, and she has like her own show on Nickelodeon. She is guest starring on shows on Nickelodeon. She won a Kids' Choice Award, all these things. So she was really able to like cash in on being like a child entertainer, but an entertainer for children. So that's where we, like, I feel like is different from some child stars. Obviously, like, a lot of the, like, Disney and Nickelodeon kids, they were, like, creating content for other children. But I also feel like when we look at, like, Lindsay Lohan, she was kind of, like, also creating more, like, widely consumed content to where she, like, had all eyes on her from a young age as opposed to, like, just children. So that's a really interesting thing about JoJo, is that like her fans were actually like her peers. She didn't have like, you know, she wasn't really like visible to adults very much. So I think that that's why there's this like whole generation of people between like my age and really like, I guess, older millennials and above, that like just have never crossed paths with JoJo. So that's why I'm giving all this background. So JoJo's real name is Joelle Joni Siwa. She was born on May 19th in 2003. She is 20. Like I said, she's from Omaha. And she's been in the public eye since she was 9 in the year 2013. She has several songs, including Boomerang, Kid in the Candy Store, and Hold the Drama. And she was on some Nickelodeon shows that I've literally never heard of called Blurt with Jace Norman and Lip Sync Battle Shorties with Nick Cannon. Then she went on a major concert tour in 2019 titled Dream the Tour. And like, I don't really know what she did on this tour. I guess she's singing, but there's plenty of evidence that she cannot sing, which is kind of like the funniest part of this to me. If you go on TikTok and search JoJo Siwa singing in the car, there's this video of her like trying to sing along to Olivia Rodrigo's Traitor. And not only is it just like, not only is it just assaulting to the ears, you can tell by looking at her that she like by watching her that she doesn't know how to sing, because her breath control is abysmal. Like she literally is turning red in the face at one point because she like isn't breathing while she's singing. So she's clearly like not really had like voice lessons or anything. And then I doubt that she's had any kind of actual dance training since she left Dance Moms. It seems like she still stays active because she has her own dance studio. So I think she's like still dancing a lot. But as somebody who is also the daughter of a studio owner and taught dance for 10 years, I can tell you that she doesn't have like great execution. So anyway, basically she's 20 years old, and in I believe it was 2021 that she came out as lesbian and started dating a girl named Kylie. And since then, she has really wreaked havoc on the community of young lesbian YouTubers. And I actually have a highlight about this on the Spin Cycle Media's Instagram page. I have a highlight where you can go and like watch some of the like breakdown of this. Essentially, what happened was JoJo started dating this girl Kylie. That's when she comes out. They have like a really cute little relationship. But then JoJo starts like acting like a fuckboy, and essentially after this other like lesbian TikTok couple, like young girls, you know, like 18, 19, they break up, and JoJo starts dating one of the other girls right away. And there's all this speculation that there's overlap. But JoJo and Kylie dated on and off between 2020 and August of 2022 after they met on a cruise. So then the other couple breaks up and JoJo kind of like swoops and starts dating this girl. Her name's Avery Cyrus. No relationship or no relation to Miley Cyrus. They're posting like a shit ton of content all the time. Like, it's so obnoxious. And they're followed by paparazzi a lot. But they make all these like really terrible, cringy TikToks together, but they do seem to really like each other. Then after they break up, JoJo Siwa kind of starts talking shit about Avery as though Avery has been like just using her for clout and views and all this stuff. There's this viral video of Jesselyn, JoJo's mom, posting JoJo like walking around her house ranting, and she's like, "Why are you mad? Why are you mad?" And JoJo's like, "Because I was used and I was twicked," because you know she can't say ours. she's like, "I was twicked and I was used for views and likes and all this stuff," and like really just like starts taking all these shots at Avery. And then Avery kind of starts to shade JoJo on social media. And then there's this other girl, enter Katie. And so JoJo and Katie start dating until, I guess, JoJo's fans this is so insane. JoJo's fans find out that this girl Katie was like a Trump supporter and is very like conservative and all these things that kind of like contradict, I guess, what was sold to JoJo. So she just like ghosts her, doesn't even dump her. And then she, like, basically, I don't even need to give you the whole spiel. What you need to understand is that JoJo is a menace and fucks all these girls over and then turns around and, like, posts TikToks, like, shading them as though she's the victim. That's the pattern. So I'm going to stop rambling about all these different girls and the timeline and whatever, because that's what you need to know. She's just, like, constantly posting TikToks about how, you know, so-and-so has absolutely fucked her over. She says things like she's getting loved bombed and, you know, always being like, oh, her girlfriends are only like clout chasing and all this stuff, which is so funny because I'm like, who would be with you for clout, JoJo Siwa? I don't think that anybody is. I saw this TikTok and it said, whatever JLo has, that's what JoJo Siwa has. And I'm like, yes, exactly. Like, their delusions of grandeur are so extreme. Like, this, the level of ego is hard to comprehend. But in JoJo's head, she is like a real bona fide celebrity. Whereas I look at her more as like somebody who's on like Bravo. Like, to me, she's a reality star who then like monetized her reality stardom. But she's not anything more than that to me. I don't look at her as an artist. I don't look at her as any of those things. But regardless, we have now entered this territory where she's 20. She's had this childhood, quote unquote, music career, but has no musical training or background. And now she is attempting to, like, take that stardom and turn it into a real bona fide career, a la Miley Cyrus, a la Demi Lovato, those sorts of people. But the problem is that she does not possess that talent. And so, like I said, she released this song Karma, and come to find out it is a scrapped Miley Cyrus track from 2011, like I mentioned. And it's like, you know, the song is fine, it's whatever, but the music video is the most unhinged thing I've ever seen. There's a lot of humping, and I'm not just saying that because it's girls. I'm not just saying that because she's young. I'm saying that because I've never seen so much humping in a music video, and I grew up in the early 2000s. So all that to say, the music video, the choreography is bad, the visuals are bad, the storyline is bad, it's hard to follow. Like, it really does look like Disney, like, produced it. They didn't, but, like, that's the vibes that it invokes. It's very, like, fantastical. But then there's, you know, a lot of humping. Like, I don't know how else to say it. And I noticed that Them magazine, which is like an LGBTQIA publication, their headline that was a review of the music video literally said, "There's a lot of humping." So I felt very validated by that. I was like, okay, I'm not just this like fucking uptight old lady clutching my pearls at this. That really is like an aggressive amount of like overt sexuality for a music video. Because obviously, like, you know, a lot of like, you know, like a Cardi B WAP music video, obviously there's a lot of like twerking, there's a lot of whatever, but this is straight up like people humping each other. Like, it's just so like, it feels like you're watching something that you shouldn't be watching. It makes me want to like look away because it looks like I'm interrupting something. What I find to be really interesting about this whole thing is just the idea of being a child star and then trying to figure out what you're going to do in your adulthood. Because obviously, like, sure, I'm sure she could just like do nothing and just like post on YouTube or TikTok or whatever and do brand deals and stuff for the rest of her life. But she clearly doesn't want to do that, you know, and I think that's fair. She clearly like wants to create and she wants to perform, and like, I feel like there are ways that she could do that without this like delusion that she is somebody she's not. If I were her like agent, or if I were her publicist or somebody in a position to give her advice, my advice to her would be like, go collaborate with other people who have talents that you don't, and like make something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she could find somebody to like almost like partner with to create the kind of content that she wants. Because like, I feel like what she really should lean into is her dance ability. Because if she actually like took classes and she actually like worked on her craft, she could like get back to that level of dance that she was at when she was younger. You know, 20 is still young. I think she's got, you know, 10 more years before her body really turns on her. And I say that as a retired dancer again. But in my opinion, I think that she should really lean into like the dancing and the, you know, creating YouTube content and like those sorts of things, and stop trying to be a fucking pop star. Because A, we are in like the golden age of pop stardom and we don't need any more. And these other girls can sing. And what they can't do is they can't dance. You know what I mean? So she either needs to like get into like choreography, or she needs to get into like show production or something. But there's so many other opportunities for her to create and to be able to perform and to be involved in show business without just like riding this wave to the point where she's gonna look back and be so embarrassed when she's older. And like, sure, that's like a big assumption, but I do believe that when she's older, she's going to be like, what was I thinking? That was so cringy. And I think anybody who's over 20 can agree that they look back on things they did at 20 and decisions they made at 20 and are like, what was I thinking? So I wish that there was somebody in her life giving her advice like this. Like, you don't have to be a star to be successful. There are other measurements of success other than stardom and views. And you know, she's on her Instagram right now constantly like celebrating the views that her music video is getting, when it's like, it's because people are literally doing what I'm doing right now and making content about it because it's so outrageous. People are watching it because creators like me are talking about it. People are watching it because it's insane. You know, like, it's not because they respect the work and not because they're entertained by it. I mean, or maybe they are entertained by it, but not in the way she thinks. And so I guess I am in some ways like feel bad for her because I'm like, why is nobody around her telling her to take a different direction? I think it's really like doing her a disservice, just letting her flail the way she is. But she's also not doing herself any favors in her interviews. She's really acting like she invented this whole new genre, even though it's like, you know, a 13-year-old song that's been sitting in somebody's archives. And it was written for somebody else, but she's talking about how she takes inspiration from David Bowie and like Michael Jackson and Lady Gaga. And it's just she herself, I feel like, is she's turning herself into a joke because she doesn't have people in her life willing to tell her the truth. And I think that's the most interesting piece of fame and child stardom to me, is the way that celebrities can really like exist in a fantasy world because they can so easily curate their surroundings to be, you know, favorable to them. I think a really good example of this is Tom Sandoval. I think we're seeing that play out on this season of Vanderpump Rules, how, you know, Tom just surrounds himself with yes people and people who he pays and people who want something from him. And because of that, he's able to like constantly feel like the man. And, you know, he's doing the same thing as JoJo Siwa. He tours around the country singing cover songs and wearing the same shit as her. Honestly, like, they're dressing the same. They have the same, like, aesthetic. Everything about them and their, like, quote-unquote creative process and aesthetic is so similar. So, yeah, I'm really interested in seeing where this goes. More to come on JoJo Siwa, and definitely more to come on Bravo stuff. There's just been, like I said, so much going on that I've felt like I can't keep up, and I don't want to constantly be behind, and I don't want to constantly be saying things before I have all the information and want to go back and like correct myself. I just, it's a lot of pressure to keep up with the current news cycle, and I want to, like I said, like actually contribute something new and interesting to these spaces as opposed to just repeating the same shit every other pop culture creator is putting out there. So thank you for sticking with me and for being patient with me and for listening. And there's gonna be more where this came from, and I think it might be more like this format where I talk about just one thing the entire time as opposed to trying to squeeze in as much pop culture news in one episode as possible. I think I might go just like pick one subject to deep dive into each week as opposed to like giving you a full rundown of what you should know, even though that's like what I would love to do. I just simply don't have the time. But for more day-to-day and like overarching pop culture content, definitely follow the Spin Cycle Media on Instagram. Follow me at Kiara_McKinney on Instagram. I post a lot of pop culture and sports content on my stories on a regular basis. So yeah, that is kind of the plan. And again, I appreciate you sticking with me. I've been doing this for 3 years now, and the news cycle has just never been this saturated, which I am very much enjoying from a spectator perspective, but from a creator perspective is super overwhelming. I hope you enjoyed this little JoJo Siwa deep dive. Please go watch her video Karma and tell me your thoughts. I'm dying to hear them. Bye.